Caution, the Mark Unger Show contains adult content intended for an adult audience. And, besides that, he's really weird. Welcome to the Mark Unger Show with national marriage speaker and author of Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage, Mark Unger. This is your source for practical, down-to-earth marriage advice without all the over-spiritualization or romantic nonsense. And now the host of the Mark Unger Show, Mark Unger.
And the crowd goes wild with delirious joy. They've joined the Mark Unger Show, the show that deals with all things concerning
marriage.
I am, of course, the one, the only, Mark Unger.
Why? What's the significance? I don't know.
Joining me, as always, the lovely, the charming Diane Brierley.
Why don't you take a picture? It'll last longer.
And, of course, the amazing Ross Allen Skorzewski.
Go ahead and scream your head off. We're miles from where anyone can hear you.
Engineering the show as always, pushing buttons, twisting knobs, trying to stay awake during the production of the program, the talented, the amazing, the eerily creepy Timothy Robert Ray, engineer extraordinaire, making sure you can hear us all around the world via the World Wide Web. The web.
Web.
Why do they call it a web?
I don't know.
Ask Al Gore.
He invented it. He should know. This is the show that handles all of your marital challenges, relational conundrums, and dating dilemmas that you can email to us at radio@markunger.com. This is how the program works. You get to send us an email and be totally anonymous. We, in turn, are brutally honest. This is your chance to hear what people really think about your situation when you're not in the room. Okay? That's really what this is. This show is not designed to be concerned in any way, shape, or form about your feelings. In fact, if you want someone to be concerned about your feelings, this is not the show for you. But if you'd like to know what people really think about your situation when you're not in the room, send it to us. We will weigh in on it. The good news is we don't know who you are, okay? So don't get all upset and your boo-boos and owie, 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 owie. All right? Hopefully, at a minimum, this will challenge you to start thinking more correctly. Anyway, that's all I have to say about that.
Okay.
What do you have for us this
morning? Interesting little article that's titled "The Truth About Your Parent." Parents.
Your parents' sexual needs.
Your partner's sexual needs. We don't want to know about the parents. Sorry.
Say it again.
Your truth about your partner's sexual needs.
I have them. That's the truth.
You have needs.
Yeah, sexual needs.
You have needs, and that's the truth.
There's no need for an article.
Okay. I like this one because it actually touches on a few things that you, sir, have talked about over the past many shows.
All right.
For decades, there have been preconceived notions regarding men and women's attitude toward sex. It has been taken for granted that men are more oriented toward sex while women are more commitment-driven, or men look for attractive mates and women go after social status. However, a new study, while defying all these notions, has revealed not all psychologists comply with these gender essential statements. Researchers at the University of Michigan have asserted that men think about sex every second, every 7 seconds is not true. Remember, we hear that. I can't talk today.
Who thinks about sex every 7 seconds?
Well, they prove that it's not true.
We're talking about it now.
That's hard for me to have a conversation because I got to stop every 7 seconds. Hold on a second. What? Okay. And I was thinking that we ought to order this. Hold it. All right. And now.
You couldn't function.
Good grief.
No, they're saying that that's a myth. They say, while it's true that men think about sex more often than women do, they also think about other bodily needs, such as food and sleep, more than women do.
In other words, we just think more about ourselves, period.
Apparently.
Whether it's, I want to eat, I'm tired, I want to sleep, I want sex,
We
just think more about ourselves,
me,
period.
Me, I.
Got it.
Okay.
All right. That I would concur with.
They actually found, not every 7 seconds, but they found that men pondered sex 18 times a day, to a woman's 10 times a day.
Oh, no.
That's what it says. So it's not every 7 seconds. It's 18 times a day because they were recording their thoughts throughout the day.
So men think about it more than women, period.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
In my home, that's probably true.
Oh, it's definitely my true. And I'm thinking,
okay,
my wife stops and thinks about sex 10 times a day.
Not that she's stopping, but it filters through her head.
Excuse me, class. My wife teaching ballet. Just hold on a second. Hold that pose.
I just don't see it happening. It would be great if she did, but I don't think she does.
Now, thinking about it and acting upon it 10 times a day are two entirely different
Even
matters,
thinking
boys.
About it, I don't see my wife stopping and just pondering, doing the wild thing.
It's not talking
I'm
about
pondering.
It's like
it
maybe sexual thoughts, period. Maybe it's
well,
just like any sort of...
What?
I don't know. Like she sees the beggar boy at Festival of Foods and goes, oh, that's a sexual thought. It's
no,
not about
it's not.
You.
That's a sexual thought?
Then maybe 7 seconds is
I notice women all the time.
I don't know. I don't know specifically what they're talking about. Anyway.
I hope I'm not lusting after them, but I mean, it's hard to...
I hope you're not either. Yeah, okay, so here's the part you're really going to like, because this totally corroborates what you say. I love it when we find the corroborating evidence.
Corroborate.
Okay, studies also suggest that men do experience more orgasms than women, but they found, they added a large caveat.
There is a large caveat.
The differences are largest in one-night stands and hookup relationships.
Oh, duh.
Things look rosier for women in a long-term relationship.
That's it.
Yes.
You can't get to great sex with one-night stands.
Yes.
They found hookup relationship. It just doesn't work. That's what we've been saying forever.
Yes, that's why I pulled this. They found that women reached orgasm only about a third as much as men during first-time hookups.
True.
Only half as often as men during repeated hookups, but in committed relationships, women have orgasms 79% as often as men. So it's exactly what you just said when we talked about in one of the shows last week.
And women in really good relationships experience orgasms virtually all the time.
Yes.
Interesting.
So that's why I pulled
that's why this whole thing that Hollywood sells is great sex and condoms and all this other it's all bogus nonsense. And why do the women buy into this? They're not getting great sex.
Because they believe what they see on TV. And I think they
but they don't believe what their own body tells them.
So there's something wrong with them. There's something wrong with them. They think, well, on TV, this isn't, well, what's wrong and why am I not? And la, la, la. I think that that has to be what they think, that there must be something wrong with them because they're
so
not.
So they just want to do it more often and more one-night stands.
If I do this, I'll get it. I'll get the hang of it. They don't understand that you're not going to get the hang of it. Not when you're out there hooking up and doing all the one-night stands. So anyway, I thought, there you go. There's the piece of evidence in the study to prove what it is that you say.
Hindustan times.
I don't even know what that is. But they come up...
Must be from India or something, huh?
I don't know. They come up with some interesting articles sometimes off of that little website.
But it says Washington, November 19th, 14th.
Well, that's because other places around the world actually publish things from the U.S.
It probably is out of the U.S. Yeah, got it. Okay.
Okay.
Interesting. Very interesting.
Very interesting.
Proven right once again.
You are
proven to be more genius than you even thought.
He's brilliant. Simply brilliant.
All right. I teased y'all yesterday with the hold on to your hats. We have a wing-ding dilly of an email.
Okay, we have a wing-ding dilly.
Ready for this one? Ready?
Yes.
Okay. I'm highly editing this, but anyway, he says, I have been married for one, this is a man writing, been married for 1 year now, and the relationship is a little complicated.
After a year.
Yes. Oh, yes.
People.
We have a married couple of friends that swing.
Oh, no.
Eventually, I told you, eventually.
Just swinging.
Just swinging.
I'm surprised you know that song, Ross.
Come on, why?
Because it's a country music.
Yeah, it's a country music song.
There's country that goes back to my early childhood that I like.
Swinging. Who is that that sings that?
I don't think it's not Eddie Rabbit, is it?
No, who is it? I can hear the voice.
Sitting on the front porch in a swing, so swinging.
I can't even think of who it is, but when you say it, I'm
going to
go,
Boys,
yeah,
like
nope,
the old school
not,
Statler Brothers.
Nope.
You know. Oh.
Nope.
Willie Nelson?
No.
No, I know. I'm just saying names that I'm big on. Neil Diamond?
No, oh, no. It's not Conway Twitty, is it? No, it was after Conway.
I can't remember who it was.
What justice? We can't find it. We're sitting on the porch just a swinging.
Swinging.
And you know that, Ross. I'm proud of you, country music.
Oh, thank
boy.
You for being so proud of me, because that's really, you know, that's what I pine for.
I can't find it.
It's not on the iTunes? John Anderson, I think. John Anderson. Swinging. Mm-hmm.
How do you find this?
Because I just Googled swinging country song and the video popped up for John Anderson.
Huh.
So you're still looking.
I'm still looking. I can't find it. Oh, there it is.
Feeling loved out to my
toes and we were swinging. You were in there. Swinging.
Just swinging. Swinging.
Little Charlie, she's as pretty as the angels.
Just when they swing.
I can't believe I'm out here on a front porch in a swing. Just a swinging.
And now he's singing about some girl swinging in the front porch.
Front porch swing.
But this guy's talking
this
about.
He's talking about wife swapping.
Wife swapping.
We're not,
which I hold a.
There's no
we did
porch
a music video
involved.
Of this song once. I produced this back when I had my own video production company. And some guys hired us to go south with them to do a video of fishing. It was a fishing video. They're going to put on ESPN or something like that.
Yeah.
And they had this technique called flipping.
Oh, yeah.
Just a flipping. So then we re-recorded the songs and just a flipping. They're out there and they're throwing their, flipping. You know, fishing lines and stuff in. So it's kind of funny.
Okay, so anyhow, they have friends who swing, and eventually we did try it once.
Oh, good Lord.
He says, it was a nice experience.
It was a nice experience?
I bet it was.
Who in the hail, H-A-I-L, is this?
But nothing out of this world, to be honest. Eventually, my, at the time, girlfriend, so they were only dating, they weren't married when they tried this swapping business. So at the time, we decided that for now, it would be better not to swing, but to leave it as an open option for later on in life.
Oh, good Lord!
And, so, we love Jesus, we attend our local church.
Please tell me they don't go to church.
I asked him, are you Christian? And he said, we are both Roman Catholics, and yes, I know what we did goes against the church's teaching.
Okay, so they're just Christian in name. Okay, well, okay, I'll cut them slack on that. At least they're not pretending to be some born-again Christians living like hell.
He says, we got married, and for the first few months, it was great. Then, I'm going to condense this all. She eventually met a guy who was interested in swinging. First, she declined because when we talked about swinging, we had always wanted to do it together, and we both had agreed.
Good Lord! The family that swings together stays together.
Uh-huh.
Well, I hope that's how that rules in our home soon, that we get to do it together, that she can't just go off and
do it. So I have to be with a couple, right? That, and that's what they had agreed to, that for now we wanted to be with each other only and swing after being married for a long period of time. But this guy kept mentioning the offer to the wife, apparently, and eventually she got interested and mentioned to me that she would prefer that we had someone on the side than swinging together, that she'd rather not have someone on the side rather than just do it together as a couple. So anyway, that went past, and I think that she did do something
swing
with him, yeah, with just this guy. And then she said that she would not repeat that again. But now, apparently, she's thinking and met another guy and is thinking about swinging again, and he's just not so sure. He says, I'm confused and lost.
Is it
too much to ask to be just each other's and no one else's nowadays?
You open that door,
well,
buddy.
Dude, when you start out by taking your girlfriend and swapping, I mean, obviously you have no respect for yourself, and you certainly have no respect for her. I guarantee a hell would freeze over before I freely let some other man jump my wife's bones.
And I'd be swinging from something to think that my wife would allow me.
What?
No, there's no way that my wife would allow me to go swing. No. I said she'd have me
swinging by your cojones.
Yeah.
My cojones, I'd be swinging.
But they had agreed to it the first time. Apparently, they swapped with this other couple, and he went with she, and she went with he,
dude,
and that was all good.
Listen to me. You're obviously very confused.
Well, he says, I'm confused.
Yeah, when you live like hell, what do you think you're going to get? I know you're not a very active Christian by your own admission, okay? But it doesn't change the fact that you will reap what you sow. Whether you are a committed Christian or not, you still will reap what you sow. You sow poison, you're going to get sick and die. Mm-hmm. You sow just death and destruction, that's what you're going to get. When you're dating and you freely toss the girl that you're supposed to care about and let some other man screw her, first of all, you're out of your ever-loving mind.
Mm-hmm.
But you're sowing death into your life. So now you're married and you're surprised the girl wants to go screwing other men. Gee, I can't imagine that. Couldn't see that coming. Well, maybe you could when you realize that she had no problem screwing other guys when she was with you in the first place. Who would marry a woman like this? Mm-hmm. Who would marry a guy like that? I mean, you guys, you get married and you've already established right from the get-go that you're both cool with having sex with other people. As long as we do it together. Yeah. I mean,
And then they kind of went on hiatus about it. And then he said, at least we were not going to do it for the time being.
The seed is planted.
Right.
For the time being. In other words, at some point, the door's still open.
Yes.
Dude, you are a morally depraved individual. Okay? We don't hate you. I don't hate you. But I think as far as moral depravity goes, most normal people put swinging in the category of moral depravity. And you don't have to be a born-again Christian to think this way. Man, virtually any religion in the world thinks this way. Mm-hmm. And quite frankly, any person, the vast majority of people who don't even take religion seriously at all, consider swinging morally depraved. You are in that 0.1% of people that everybody looks at and thinks, dude, there's something wrong with you. So I would challenge you. Your marriage is crap. Your whole life is crap. You know, so I feel bad for you, you know, and at least, you know, I'm not yelling at him because he doesn't claim to see what ticks me as a people who claim to be moral and live like crazy. He's not claiming to be moral. He knows he's, you know, not claiming to be a born again Christian at all.
Right.
He's just a Catholic in name because he.
And
was
he
that
knows
when he was
that
born.
It goes against what he was taught.
And he knows
it goes
from the church, and he doesn't really care. I mean, he's not walking with God in his life.
No.
But forget that. So you don't walk with God. Okay, that's your choice. But God or no God, there's certain parts, there's certain points of moral normalcy, okay? And this is beyond the norm. Only the weirdest of the weird swap out their spouses in sex with other people. Dude, what gets more weirder than that? Guys who have sex with cows? I suppose that's a little weirder. You
that's
know, you
weird.
Add chickens and frogs to the deal. I suppose they're weirder than you. But
that's pretty weird.
But you are on the far end scale of moral depravity. And it is what it is. Well, I don't think it is. And I'm sure you can get people who think, oh, there's nothing wrong with it. You are all the 1% of people who are morally depraved. Mm-hmm. The fact that you would do this and you have no, forget God for a minute. People with just a normal conscience, sense.
Well, see, and he is having that problem because he doesn't want his wife to be with someone else now. So it is kicking
in. But I don't know that
him.
He has a moral, you know, apparently his conscience didn't bother him the first time.
Well, now she's being, you know, driven to want to be with men
other than him
when it was the agreement of the two of
them
together.
But he set it up that way.
Right. I know, but now he's going back and he does have an issue with
it. Well, no, I, if you are getting a moral conscience at this point, you know, good for you. But you know, I can't fix this.
No.
Yeah, the boundaries
you,
that
you hooked
put
up
in place.
With a woman who there's something wrong with her head.
Yes.
That she bought into, okay, yeah, let's go screw other people. You go over with Bob in that corner, Susie, and I'll go over with Bob in this corner, and we'll boink, and, you know. I know people. I've met people personally like this.
I have too.
I had somebody in my church who had gone down this. Of course, they felt horrible.
Well, of course you would.
You know, because it's. I mean, guys, it doesn't get much worse than this. And the reason they go down this line because they listen to porn and magazines and stuff that say it's all cool and it's great.
Oh, you can find anything if you look into the materials that are out there that say that it's great.
But it's the 1%. It is about as abhorrent as you can get, guys. It doesn't get much worse than this. And when you go down this path, yeah, you're going to feel terrible. Thank God you feel terrible. Mm-hmm. I feel bad you didn't feel more terrible right away.
In the beginning, yeah.
Just because you knew somebody who the couple did that and you got sucked into it.
But you married a woman who has no problem screwing other guys.
Yeah. That's you
She
got
married
what you,
you
got.
And you said you had no problem screwing. Well, we just want to do for the time being. Well, what the heck does that mean? What is the time? At some point, you're still okay with going into a room with your wife and letting her go off in a corner with another man and screwing him while you screw the guy's wife.
That just makes me
Dude,
sick.
Dude, it's just another...
Yeah, but they both went into this eyes
I
wide
know,
open.
I know, but I'm
so.
Saying, I'm trying to give him a sense that what you're talking about would make most
Ick.
Normal yes. people vomit. The fact that, you know what, it's like, who's that, Coach Dunger, whoever has a son who can't feel pain.
Oh yeah, Tony Dungy.
Tony Dungy.
Yeah, yeah. And it's very devastating because, you know, if you can't ever sense that you're chewing your tongue off, you'll chew your tongue off.
You're or touching
you can't
something
sense
hot.
Something hot, you'll burn your hand. I mean, if you stick your hand in the fire and you don't feel anything, or you push so hard on something, you wind up breaking your arm, and you're not aware of it. All of a sudden, your arm's string. Oh gosh, I didn't know that was. There's something wrong with. I mean, that's a bad sign. When you can do what you're doing, you are the moral version of that physical problem. Right. You have no sense of right or wrong. You are among most men. You're the most miserable. Yeah, I don't want you to go out and shoot your brains out over this, but I'm just saying you've got some serious issues, dude. If I were you, I would try and go back to your moral roots, go to church, man, read the Bible, try and get right with God. There is something wrong with you, okay? Now, you can go to some other show. I mean, I don't know, maybe Dr. Phil's into this. Who knows what he's into? There'll be someone out there who'll say, oh, yeah, no problem. Your wife's just, you know, doing what's natural. You know, who's that psycho crazy woman on TV late at night that...
Tim, what's that? He knows that lady. Sue Johnson is her name.
You know, she's a sicko. You know, she, oh, it's fabulous. You know, do all threesomes, this and that, and by swapping, you know. Okay, but again, you're talking to the 1% of people who have no moral souls.
There's nothing
sadly,
sacred in this.
Dude, you are in that category.
Well, it wasn't like this past fall. I think it was a year ago. That was it ABC that had the TV show Swingers? That's exactly what it was about. It was supposed to take place like in the 70s and these couples. And this, I never watched it. I saw the ads. It was very short-lived that I think that it was not accepted.
Do you know why it's short-lived? Because, see, people in Hollywood, the sickos, think that's all cool. But the majority of normal people want to go vomit when you see something like that. A show
I mean,
like that doesn't even succeed.
Show in prime time it's, about this.
But these people don't get it. They don't realize that behavior puts you in the smallest percentile of people who have no moral soul, no moral center. Your soul, dude, is in a bad place. You are reaping death because you are sowing death. If you stick corn in the ground, you're not going to get wheat. If you plant a peach tree, you're not going to get cherries or apples. You will reap what you sow. Your life, your marriage is full of hell because you have sown hell into it. My advice is to turn from that stuff, man. My advice as a Christian, obviously, turn to God. Get your heart right. Cry out to God. Say, God, give me a soul. Give me a sense of morality. But I got no fix for you, man.
No.
That's that is sad. All right. Let's well, you know what? We've already blown through. So,
okay, you want to keep going?
By the time we take a break, it'll be time to take another break. So we'll blow through the first break.
Okay. Greetings, Diane Ross and the incomparable Mr. Gunger.
You got the incomparable today.
Adjective today. Okay, my wife and I decided, and I decided for myself, that I would never be the type of father who spends all day at work and abandons their children and wife. I choose to work my 8 hours and come home. I own my own painting company and believe myself to be one of the best painters in the state. The problem is that to stay booked up and keep up with the social media and marketing in today's world, it takes me another 6 hours on top of my 8 to 9 hour workday, which means I have to miss time with my family. So I decided to cut way back on all of that. And as a result, I make a measly $20,000 to $22,000 a year. My wife also works outside the home and makes around $28,000. I would love to fully provide for my family by myself, but I refuse to put in those many hours because I can't put my daughter and wife through what I endured as a child. So apparently he had an absent working father. Do you feel I am being a giant wussy and need to man up and work the extra hours, or do you feel I am justified in my decision and need to have peace with likely never making six figures or having to boat 17 cars, three ponies, and a Mark Gunger bobblehead doll? He has friends on one side telling him to be cool and just love life and, you know, live more meagerly, and the other side telling me I need to man up and work more. I get confused. Any input would be greatly appreciated.
I wouldn't work my life away for what? You know, work hard at what you're doing. Make the best income you can. And how old is he, does he say?
No, I didn't find out how old he was.
You know, most of my life I made nothing. You know, you don't know that you won't make six figures someday. Sometimes it takes a while before things click. And the truth is most people don't really start making their your best income years are generally in your 50s, believe it or not.
Yeah.
You know, that's usually by the time where...
And that's,
you know,
the way it
all
always
the geezers
used
who had
to
all
be.
The money before you've died off or retired.
It never used to be like upside down the way it is now, where all of these young people have all of the stuff and the cars and the fancy houses and all of that, and that they
that's
were so in over their heads into
that's
debt or working so hard.
They're in over their heads. They're trying. They want to leave their parents' house and have what their parents had immediately.
Yeah.
And they don't realize their parents didn't have anything.
Right.
until they were almost 18.
Yeah.
You know, that's when they finally started getting a nice house and a nice car and stuff like that.
It's very upside down.
It takes you years to figure this stuff out. Mm-hmm. So
if you're young and poor.
I would say, look, I would rather be poor and happy than rich and miserable. You know, at least this guy has a sense, you know. You know, at least he's not out there, you know.
Feeling love down to my toes. And we were swinging.
Swinging. Just a swinging. Ooh, swinging.
Little Charlotte, she's as pretty as the angels when they sang. I can't believe I'm out here on the front porch in the swing.
Just a swinging.
You know, boy, talk about two extremes. Here you got one guy who has no moral sense and thinks wife swapping is cool and his life sucks. And here's another man. God bless this guy.
Yep.
Here's a guy who thinks completely the opposite. Who thinks, you know what? I would rather not have as much stuff and still spend time with my wife and my children and build a solid home. Yep. Versus the other guy who freely gives his wife to another man, say, here, you screw her while I screw your wife. And we're talking day and night. God bless you, dude. We celebrate you. Oh, yeah. So there.
It would be interesting to know of his friends that are telling him to man up and work more hours if they're Christian friends or not.
Yeah, and who's what their marriages are like.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, if you can work harder and maintain the time you need into your family, then fine.
Okay.
You know, and some people got to work hard. I mean, sometimes, you know, there's times in my life where I worked all day, half the night, you know, because you just have to do what you got to do. But these are seasons in life. You know, you don't want to spend your entire life like that.
Well, put it down and then be with your family and then pick it up when they go back to bed. You know, I do a lot of that right now. My schedule is very, as we've discussed before, my wife works, so I'm at home and my kids go down to bed between 6:30 and 8 o'clock. But at 8 o'clock, I'm back at the computer a lot of times.
Working
again. Yeah. I mean, you just got to really sit down and get a little bit more detailed about your schedule and look at it and steal those moments with your family.
Yeah. But what he's saying is he's looking at a situation where he can work really hard and have no time for his family, or not work as hard but have time for his family and not have as much money. I would vote for
the latter.
For the latter.
I would
don't
too.
Have as much money. You don't need money. Money can't buy me love. You know, I mean, it's not going to ultimately, you know, obviously you need money.
Yes, you do.
And life is hard, but live simply. Don't live beyond your means. Truth is, if you live really, really, really simply, America's the best deal in the world.
It is.
It's when you keep trying to have stuff that you don't need, and you get buried with it, and it starts eating you alive. Then it's not so much fun. The person who doesn't have much and has no debt is the envy of the guy who has all kinds of stuff and can't pay his bills.
Brand new and available now on DVD, Manly Man 3, Time to Man Up. In this third year of the conference, Mark Gunger, comedian Ken Davis, Ed Gunger, and Paul Coughlin challenge men to stop being passive and become courageous leaders among their family and friends.
I think it's amazing. I've been sitting backstage watching this, and I think I get it. We have been neutered. Am I wrong? That isn't the sad part. We volunteered for it.
Order your Manly Man 3 DVD with over 6 hours of both hilarious and serious sessions giving men practical tools to become the man of God he's called them to be. Visit us online at laughyourway.com or call 866-525-2844. Don't wait. Order your copy today at laughyourway.com.
If you like listening to Mark Gunger on the radio, you'll love watching him live. Each week, Mark presents his Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage seminar in cities across the country. This wildly entertaining and informative event is designed to bring hope and positive change to your marriage, improve your communication, help your spouse to better understand you and your needs.
Men are more interested in sex than their wives. Why would you say that? Because generally it's true. But it's not always true. There are a lot of relationships where the wife is much more interested in sex than her husband. If you're here tonight and your wife is much more interested in sex than you are, I think I speak for all the men here when I say that we hate you.
Don't wait. Events are filling up fast. To view a schedule and register for an upcoming event, visit us today online at laughyourway.com. That's laughyourway.com.
Luck be a lady tonight. Luck be a lady tonight. Luck, if you've ever been a lady to begin with, luck be a lady tonight.
Luck be a lady tonight. Actually, you idiot, don't be gambling. You don't have to be singing to luck. Well, that's something I don't get, the gambling thing.
I don't either.
I do.
Do you? People who get it, they get the charge out of it. I just don't get it.
I think it's just fun. I mean, when I've ever done it, I've always like gone in with 20 and left with 20.
It's
fun.
If I could go to Vegas, and they used to back in the day, they'd have like dollar tables or dollar roulette.
Sure.
Yeah, I'll take 10, 15, 20, 30 bucks. I don't know, 50 bucks. And just, you know, you spend that much going to movies and stuff like that anyway.
Yes.
Just have fun playing a game. It's like a game of Monopoly.
Right. But the people that are like hook, line, and sinker.
No, these guys are dropping huge chunks of cash and losing money. They're crazy. The reason he's saying luck be a lady, he's got everything on the line. Yeah. You know, he's going to lose
everything. From Guys and Dolls. Do you ever see that one?
No.
Like that one. Frank Sinatra, actually.
That's where the song's from?
Yeah, I like that. Okay, here is a question about feminization of men. My question is about how the church and women in general have been shooting themselves in the foot by turning our wieners inside out. AKA feminization of men.
Oh, is this a man writing?
Yes. For years, I have been criticized about the fact that I rarely cry, especially the fact that I don't cry in public. I feel like someone needs to be the strong rock of the group, and I feel I am well equipped to do so. However, my friends and family don't see it this way. Whenever the subject of men crying comes up, I always get an elbow jab from my wife and dirty looks from my friends and family because I do not cry much. Here is my question. After listening to you, I feel good about the fact that I haven't been feminized and cry at the drop of a hat. On the same note, are my friends and family justified in mocking me for not showing emotion in that way? Is there anything wrong with me, in your opinion? I think a lot of my friends will benefit from this answer.
Well, first of all, no, I think you're doing great. You don't have to cry and all this nonsense. No. Men need to cry. What a bunch of nonsense. The fact that you care that your friends mock you means you're being a wuss yourself.
See, you are feminized.
You are feminized. Quit belly aching, you whiner. So they make fun of you.
Stop your whining.
Just look at him and say, shut up. You know? You don't cry enough. Just look at him.
Stop it.
You start complaining. You don't cry enough. Just tell him.
Stop whining.
What is it? But I cry all the time. Tell him.
You lack discipline.
Don't worry about it. Man up, man.
Yeah.
So you don't cry. Really, who does this? I've never heard of anybody going around
saying, you're not crying enough.
Criticizing a guy for not crying.
I don't know.
Man, you need some new friends, dude.
I agree.
You're telling me the men in your life make fun of you for not crying?
Because he's not emotional enough. You need to
Ross,
be more
you ever
in
hang
touch
out
with
guys that make fun of you for not crying?
No.
I've never been around guys. No. I've never even heard of this. What kind of friends you got?
Women criticizing men for that, but not men criticizing other men.
It never is a topic of conversation.
Do you cry? Next time you're
together
at a man's
gathering?
You've
heard women criticizing men for not crying.
Well, you've heard men, you know, women say, you need to be more emotional. You need to be in touch with your feelings. I think they want them to cry. That's what I'm
saying. Okay, you're assuming that, but in his case, he's saying they're literally coming after him for not crying.
Saying, dude, you need to cry more.
Who does
that? That's what it sounds like. I don't know. Try that at your next men's gathering. See what happens.
Come here, guys. We're all going to cry.
Raise your hand if you cry. If you don't cry, I'm going to criticize you. I dare you. Come on. This really actually happens? You need to be more sensitive.
Russell's crying over there, just thinking about it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I almost doubt what he's saying.
You doubt that he's actually criticized, that people do this?
Who does this? Who criticizes men for not crying? I've heard of, you know, you need to be more sensitive. You don't, I mean, my sisters give me crap all the time. You know, you don't pay attention. You're not just having your little world. You know, I just like, shut up. You know, I don't care whether you don't let him whine. First of all, the fact that he cares what they think is a problem. Who cares what they think? Man up.
You're not as unfeminized as you think.
But then secondly, I think, who does that?
Well, apparently the circle that he's in, they do that.
Dude, you need another circle.
Join a new circle.
Seriously.
One that doesn't require crying and tears. I don't know.
That's weird.
That would be highly over-feminized. If that's the church and that's the circle, that would take the cake for over-feminization. Honestly.
I'm 56 years old, pushing 57. I've never been with a man who said, dude,
you need to cry.
You really need to cry.
Yeah, that's why I said it's not a topic of conversation ever that I can think of.
I don't know.
That's what I'm saying. I think maybe it's really weird. I don't know what he's talking
cry
about.
Cry fests at these men get-togethers or something.
Well, some do. They try to evoke that, I think.
I think so,
too. I've been in church services where they do that and cry. Yeah, I guess.
In men
But even then, I don't know if I've ever had anybody come back to me and say, gee, you need to cry. I don't know.
I guess I could picture it. I've never heard per se.
Sounds creepy to me.
But I could picture it. Okay. This email is actually a dating email.
Dating.
Looking for your advice.
All right.
I have found an incredible Christian woman that I would be seriously interested in moving toward a long-term marriage commitment with. But how do I get there? How do I start to do the right thing instead of just depending on finding the right person? Many courtship books I've read spell it out in detail, but make me want to vomit every third page when they refer to waiting for God's choice or soulmate for you. I'm a 23-year-old virgin Christian walking the Christian walk.
Man. Okay.
Growing weary with all the advice to just wait and pray.
Uh-huh.
Dating often neglects this important objective, actually moving toward marriage. Many of my friends just date for fun, a good time, and for emotional attachment. These Christian courtship books make valid points when they distinguish between dating and courting, and I would like to be intentional about entering commitment with the specific goal of marriage, mentorship, accountability.
Oh, you know, that's the big thing, Christian dating things now, the difference between courting and dating.
Yes.
I think it's a bunch of nonsense.
You shouldn't be just dating. If their definition of dating is just squirreling around out there, you shouldn't be doing it.
You know, we have such a herd mentality in Christianity, you know. Whatever's the hip way of saying something, everybody just keeps repeating the same thought over and over. Very few original thinkers. Sad.
He says, there is no formula for relationships, but can you spell out the ideal? The timeline, the boundaries, the accountability, amount of your own judgment, advice from friends, and amount of God's leading. Please rant about the ridiculousness of dating for self-gratification.
Well, that is upside. I don't want to rant. A lot of people listen to the show all the time. Mm-hmm. Obviously, he's got his head screwed on straight. Send him a copy of my DVDs.
Singles
and Stinking
DVD.
Thinking. And then go show it to all your friends. And all you single people listen to the show, you need to go online right this minute and order that series. Singles and Stinking Thinking. We show you how to approach this thing in a biblical way without all the over-spiritualized and over-romanticized nonsense that it's creating the disasters that you keep hearing on this show when people email us.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You keep stupid is as stupid does. You keep doing stupid, you're going to get stupid. It's like the first guy, you sow death, you're going to get death. You've got to act and think in the right way. Now, I get if a lot of people don't know what it is, then get off your butt. Instead of listening to all the same nonsense, go online, order the DVD. Get it in your head. Watch it. Learn what God wants you to do. Learn how to do this dating thing right from someone who's actually married. Oh, I love these single people.
Successfully married.
All these single people who teach on dating.
Or divorce.
Yeah. It's like single people writing about child rearing.
Really? You don't have a clue.
Have you ever run into single people who have really all kinds of opinions about child rearing?
Yes.
They're dumb as bricks. They don't know anything. They have no point of reference. They don't know what they're talking about, but yet they're full of themselves.
Yeah.
It's like, I'll teach you about being single and waiting for the right because, you know, they've never been married or divorced 20 times.
Mm-mm.
Honestly. All right.
Okay. This one says, hello, guys. I guess I have become somewhat of a Gungurian. I'm a grain farmer, and I listen to episodes all day long in spring and fall while running machinery.
Cool.
That could be hazardous. Maybe you shouldn't be running machinery.
Really? You shouldn't operate just taking drugs?
Yes.
Do not operate heavy machinery while listening to the show.
He says, it's good adult entertainment. God bless you for what you do. So my question is this. Our marriage is one of these backward ones. I am talking about communication, not sex drive. I'm the one who would like to communicate and discuss issues. I'm always trying to have an open dialogue, and my wife is the one who retreats into the nothing box except to come out and snap at me when there is any sort of conflict or tension in our marriage. She will ignore issues that need to be acknowledged until it becomes such a big deal that she just blows up at me and and says very hurtful things. We have been married for 10 years. I love my wife dearly, but this is starting to drive me nuts. How do I get my wife to talk? What do you have to say about non-stereotypical marriages? Are there any resources you would recommend to help us learn to communicate more effectively, or do I just leave the issue alone and stop whining?
Yeah, the latter. Leave it alone, stop whining.
Leave it alone.
You're talking about my marriage. I'm Mr. Feely touching. Mm-hmm. I got to talk all my feelings. My wife, she doesn't talk very much. You notice
no,
that?
She doesn't.
Mm-mm. You know, and if I start to share my situation, well, why don't you do this? Why don't you do that?
Yeah,
you know,
see, it's very
when I describe
reverse.
That from a typical situation where the men are trying to fix wives, and women mm-hmm. say, oh, you can really, because I'm talking about
yes.
me.
Right.
Because
yes.
I swapped it. Ross got the same thing.
Except
he's a girly man in his
and,
marriage, too. Yes. So he's always talking through his feelings.
And your
I'm sure
wives are like,
I'm sure my daughter looks at him like my wife and, oh, shut up, man. Yeah. Hurry up.
Stop whining.
Quit whining.
I've learned not to because I don't always like what I hear. In
yeah.
return, you know what I'm saying?
Because
yeah, it's the same thing. She tries to fix it,
yeah,
and I'm
yeah.
not asking for her to.
Yeah, yeah.
Just
you,
listen,
you know what I do?
Just listen to me.
I don't worry about it. You're not weird.
No,
it's fine. You're like the two of us guys here. Now we are the exception. Most men are not big talkers. Their wives are big talkers. They got to talk through their feelings. Blah, 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 and the guys are always trying to just do this, just mm-hmm. trying to fix it. Really trying to shut them up.
Mm-hmm.
And there's those marriages where it's the opposite. Where it's the guys, blah, 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 and the wives are saying, "Oh, just shut up," you know.
Yeah.
It's fine. It is what it is. Just roll with it. You know what I do? I tell my wife, I said, listen, I really need to talk this through right now, okay? I don't need you to fix it, okay? And then she'll look at me and smile and say, okay.
Yeah.
And then she'll listen.
Say, I know you don't really want to hear this, but please listen right now.
Would you just let me vent this? And, you know, just be honest with it. Don't expect her to be something she's not.
Yeah.
If you got a wife who's just to the point, she's like the redhead I married. I feel your pain. But the answer is the last one. Shut up, quit whining.
At least he knew.
Well, at least you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and when you feel like you need to talk, just tell her, say, listen, can you do me a favor? What? I need to talk about something right now. I don't need you to fix it. Just would you just listen for a little? Just give me 5 minutes. Okay. And my guess is she'll go fine.
Yeah.
And you probably laugh it off. Say, look, I know I'm a girly guy and I got to talk to this. You know, I'm like Mark Unger. Okay. You laugh, okay?
But you do that rather sparingly. It's not like you're constantly saying, you need to listen, you need to listen. You do that with her on rarer occasions than expecting her to listen all the time.
Yeah, now I do. But see, it's kind of an unfair situation because guys like this guy, maybe Ross too, I don't know. I have the opportunity. I talk all the time.
Yes.
Earlier in my day, I didn't have time to talk. Now
so
I
you
talk
would do that to her a lot.
All down the shows, I talk preaching this, I travel around the world, people want to clap and cheer and hear every word that comes out of my mouth. So I'm actually, if you watch me now, Ron House, I'm pretty quiet.
Yeah.
You know, that was never me normally. Usually I was bouncing off the walls, yakking all the time.
And if he's a grain farmer talking to the cows
talking to
out
the
there
grain, he probably comes, he's going crazy. He wants to talk to somebody.
He
so just,
probably does.
Just tell her that. Just be honest about it. It's not a big deal. Say, look, I know you married a girly man, okay? You married a really feely-touchy guy. I need to talk this stuff through.
Listen.
If it doesn't work, you know, try to find some guys that you can get together with and just
talk away. Emphasis on the find some guys.
Yeah,
don't find another woman to talk to.
That could be problematic.
Losing,
then you'd be like the first
losing
guy.
Losing your marriage and she'll sue you for half your farm and life will really suck, you know. So, but I think if you just be honest about it, don't whine about it. Don't expect her to be something she's not. At some point, you just got to get comfortable with who you both are. Couples who are successful laugh at this stuff. Mm-hmm. The stuff that most people go crazy over, those of us who have good marriages, we have the same problems you have. The difference
but you laugh
is
at it.
We laugh at it.
Yes.
I just wrote this article for Focus on the Family. I don't know if they'll use it. Wouldn't surprise me if they didn't. Because I'm a weirdo. And they're pretty straight. But they wanted me to write a thing about the importance of marriage, laughter in marriage. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I always get that thing. Can you teach about laughter in marriage? Well, you can't teach it. No. Laughter in marriage is a decision.
Either you laugh or you don't.
You either choose to laugh at stuff or you don't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we choose to laugh at stuff. Of course, I do that by nature. I'd be on fire and I'd be laughing, you know. But the worst of things happen to us, we laugh at.
Well, it's either laugh or go crazy.
The most
what
horrible things
do?
That happen to me, I go up and I preach on the pulpit and I get hundreds of people in tears, laughing their butts off, telling them my greatest tragedies.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I deal with life. You know, we choose to laugh. In fact, in that article, I used the analogy. I said, Moses got in front of the people of Israel, children of Israel, and he said, look, I'm going to set before you life and death.
Life if you choose to honor God, death if you don't. And he gives them this advice, choose life. In the article, I said, look, things go crazy in people's lives. You can either laugh at it or you can get all serious and go crazy about it. My advice is choose laugh. So that's my
thing. I thought that was a good way to end it.
Yeah, we'll see if they'll ever publish it. If not, we'll publish it ourselves.
Yes.
All right. Here
we go. Okay, this one says, I'm a
40- Wait, I tell you what. Let's take a break. And then we'll come back with more right after this.
Finally, marriage advice that's direct, honest, and to the point. This is The Mark Gunger Show on MarkGunger.com. Band of Brothers Radio, your internet outpost, supplying refuge, hope, and biblical counsel for men in the midst of daily battles.
You'll never conquer that thing that's got a hold of you until you bring it out of secret, out of the darkness, and bring it into the light.
And you know, that is such the key right there. Because truly what it boils down to for me, my experience is that I had to get to that place where I've said, I've had enough. Mm-hmm. I don't have another ace up right. my sleeve. In every situation, I believe that it's a constant surrender.
Band of Brothers Radio, streaming and podcasting daily at faithplace.org.
We know you like listening to The Mark Gunger Show, but if you also enjoy listening to other programs like Family Life, Focus on the Family, or The Debbie Chavez Show, you should check out Zubio's personalized listening software. Zubio organizes your favorite shows into personalized listening channels, which you can listen to on your computer, MP3 player, or smartphone. Listening to your channel couldn't be any simpler. Just touch Play All, and the day's best shows play one after another. Perfect for listening while driving, working, or exercising. It's the easiest way to listen to multiple shows. Create your own personalized listening channel by going to www.zubeo.com. That's Zubeo.com.
Said, son, here's the deal. This ain't about easy, it's about tough. It's about leaving the house before the sun comes up. The kicking, the cussing, the fuss, and the fight. Staying in love when the money gets tight. When you start in this world with a wide-eyed girl, a $20 pawn shop ring, I know one thing. It ain't about easy.
Ain't about easy. That's what we've been talking about on today's show. Perfect song, by the way, for that segments we've been taking on today. Doing about the right thing is not about doing the easy thing. Usually doing the easy thing is it will make you miserable. That's what people
understand. The easy thing, while a momentary gratification
but
comes,
at the end makes you
in the
so
end,
unhappy.
It's very
Is that
very...
like when you're, when you're like looking for wisdom and you're asking, don't be careful because it doesn't always, wisdom doesn't mean it is going to be easy.
Yeah.
Sometimes wisdom is doing the difficult things, things that are going to hurt a little bit.
Yeah. It's not what people want to hear. They want to hear the fun, easy, make it feel good to me answers. Okay, let's see what you say to this one in answer, sir. I'm a 42-year-old woman who was married for 8 years and with the same person for 16 years. So apparently they were married for eight, but dated for eight or lived together or something. We are in the middle of a divorce for verbal abuse to me and sexual abuse on my daughter. We've been separated for 3 years, and I have been dating another guy for almost 2 years.
Is she divorced from this guy yet?
No, they're in the process of divorce. They've been separated for 3 years. She's been with a new guy, still not divorced for the last two.
All right.
I have not chosen the right man for me on more than one occasion. And I don't want to make the same mistake, even though I have been seeing this man for this amount of time. I think I need some help. How long do you suggest we date before we see if we want to be more serious? Also, what signs should I look for to let me know if I should continue dating this person or not? I am a giving person, but I don't want to be in another relationship where I'm being taken advantage of or I feel like I'm being used. I also don't want to misjudge based on how I feel. Please help.
Is she already screwing this guy?
I would assume so.
Did you ask
I didn't
her?
Ask her. I'm just assuming.
I would assume so, too.
I
don't know, dear. How about you not be dating someone while you're still married? Mm-hmm. How dumb can you be? I mean, I know it sounds mean, but how dumb can you be?
She's still married to another man. The divorce is not final. Mm-hmm. She's already dating another guy and probably screwing his brains out.
Probably.
Even if she's
I didn't ask the question.
Even
I
if she's not, it's wrong. If she is screwing him, all the worse.
And she's worried about the choices that she makes.
Dear.
Worried.
Quit.
That she chooses
doing
wrong.
Doing this.
Yeah, the one you're with is the wrong guy right now because he's dating a married woman probably screwing you.
Yes.
So he's wrong. He's a bad choice right there.
Yeah.
Right there.
Any man who would date you right now is a bad choice.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. The fact that a guy is dating a woman right now who is still married.
He's wrong.
Means
regardless of how good this feels.
It's more than he's wrong. He is.
He's bad. He's a bad man.
What's a technical word? A POC.
Mm-hmm.
A piece of crap.
Yes.
Man whore.
He's a man whore. That's what he is. That's what he is.
Yeah.
He's a man whore.
So I'm sure that she thinks that he's a nice guy and it feels
he's a man whore. Yes, and the fact that you can't tell the difference between a real man and a man whore means you are clueless, which means you probably need to be dating anybody.
Right.
How about you have no man in your life for a minimum, an absolute minimum of 2 years? Mm-hmm. You know what you need? You need God in your life.
That's what you need.
You need some priorities in your life. You don't need any man. How about you not date anybody? First of all, how about
anybody she picks right now, because her head is so screwed up, is going to be a bad man. I promise you. I would bet money on it.
Oh,
she would not be able to pick somebody who was going to save her soul.
She doesn't need any man. Yeah.
No. Until you don't think that you need a man, you're not in the right place to be choosing and looking for one.
Yeah.
Simple.
How about you wait until, first of all, if your marriage is not savable, how about you wait until you're not a married woman anymore? I mean, how?
This is very, very
can
common.
Can she really
very
be this
common.
Stupid? I mean, I know this is mean, but it's just stupid. You are a married woman. What part of I'm married does not get across to your little brain that you're already dating some other guy?
There's an emotional charge. She's being validated over there in that other way. She doesn't
care
about
give
the
a rat's
I know, but she
butt.
Doesn't care.
She is a married woman.
She doesn't see it that way.
No, they think that once I'm separated, I'm on my way to divorce,
they
I can do
whatever.
They do not
see it the way in which you speak.
It happens all the time. I
well,
know
then do whatever
people.
She wants. Her life will suck. And, you know, at this rate, you're probably going to wind up in hell. Keep going. See how that works for you. Look, people, there's, you know, at some point, this stuff matters.
Right.
And a lot of people, oh, no, she'll never go to hell. She believes in Jesus. Yeah. Let's see how that works out.
It's such a
disaster. My Bible teaches me the people who live like that will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. Straight up. Now, if that's not your theology, then great. If I'm right, we're all okay. If I'm wrong. We're all okay.
If you're right, there's a lot of people in a lot of trouble.
There's a lot of people in a lot of trouble. If I'm right, some of y'all are in serious trouble.
Yeah. I have a pretty big Facebook world of friends and family and acquaintances, and I'm amazed how many people divorcing. I mean, they just have announced the divorce. They're in the process of divorcing, and then the next day, the status in a relationship. Oh, I love this new one. I mean, they are in the throes of divorce, and they're dating. It is common. And then
absolutely.
As soon as the divorce
you know,
is
you
final
know what the Bible
and they're
calls
past,
it? The Bible calls it adultery.
Adultery.
Yeah.
It's called adultery.
Yeah. And they get married as soon as
and
the waiting
Bible
period's
says,
over. Remarried.
No adulterer will inherit the kingdom of heaven. No. You say, means I can never remarry? Work it out with your church. But this is a situation. You're not even divorced yet. And you're already probably having sex with another guy? Mm-hmm. It's called adultery. You don't think people who do that don't go to hell just because they say they believe in Jesus? Lots of luck with that, folks. I hope you're right. If I'm right, you're in big trouble.
Yep.
The good news, if you're right, I got it made.
That's right. You've done all the
Apparently,
hard work for nothing.
Well, God, are you meaning to tell me that we can fornicate and lie and cheat on our wives and commit adultery and screw people, and it doesn't matter? We all go to heaven anyway? Well, then what's the point? Then let's all go screw people all day. Then.
Might as well.
It says today will be National Screwing Day. That's great. Grease
well, that's
a body
tomorrow.
And screw
that. Hump day.
That's tomorrow's hump day.
Oh, jeez, Ross.
Wait, no, that's today.
That's today.
That is
today's
hump day.
Today's
yeah.
hump day. Today's Wednesday.
That's right, Wednesday. Get
that's what today's
around.
National Screwing Day.
So there you are. Go find someone.
No longer
to...
the hump of getting over the midweek. It is
I'm telling you, people's theology is completely screwed up. They really don't think.
They don't understand.
It doesn't
adultery.
Matter what you do. God loves you. It doesn't matter what you do. So they think you can lie, cheat, commit adultery. That's why immorality is so
rampant
in the church today. Our theology stinks.
Because God loves me unconditionally, which I have an article, by the way.
God loves me unconditionally. He loves you just the way you are. I'm listening to Victoria Osteen on TV. God loves you just the way. God loves you just the way. And I'm listening, and I'm just, my spirit is grieved. Mm-hmm. And I actually had to stop and think, why is my spirit so grieved? Because I just felt it in my
just
heart.
Like
something's not right listening to her. And I'm sure she's a nice lady. I don't know anything about that. I know a lot of people pick on her, but I don't really have much of an opinion. I never listen to her. I don't have time to listen to other television preacher. Who's got time to listen to television? I have no idea. But I'm listening to her, and I'm thinking, wait. And I'm thinking, why is that bothering me so much? And I thought about it. I says, because it's not true.
Yeah.
God doesn't love you just the way you are. He loves you despite the way you are. Because just the way you are implies you don't have to change.
That's not true.
God loves you just the way you are is not a theological statement. It's a Billy Joel song.
Mm-hmm.
Love you just the way you are. Wow. Don't go changing.
Yeah.
To try to please me. That's what they think. That's their theology.
When you talked about that last week on the show, it set off a firestorm of comments in the chat room. People were crazy about that. How could you be saying God doesn't love us unconditionally? I mean, it really went crazy in there.
He loves you, period.
Yes.
No one's saying he doesn't love you. Are you listening to me, people? God loves you, period. God loves you, period. So don't yell at me. What did Mark Gunger say? God loves you. That's what Mark Gunger says. But he loves you despite the way you are.
He doesn't love you
just the way you are. You need to change. Mm-hmm. You need to grow in your faith. You need to give. You need to sacrifice. You need to pray. You need to fast. This theology that you can just believe in Jesus and do absolutely nothing is absurd. Do you read the Bible, people? You can't possibly, if you disagree with me, instead of going ranting and crazy and all psycho and taxi out Mark Garner, just go read the Gospel of Matthew. Just read it. Read it from one to, it won't take you that long, it's not that big. Just read all the words of Jesus. And when you're done reading the words of Jesus, tell me that it doesn't matter what you do. If you still believe that after reading the words of Jesus, okay, at least I'll have a discussion with you then. But this idea that you can just, Jesus said, if your eye offend you, pluck it out. If your hand offend you, cut it off. Any man who divorces his wife and just hops in bed with another one commits adultery, he says. He says, except you lay down your life, you can't have life. He said, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord.
That's
and he
right.
said, but you're going to go to hell anyway.
That's right.
The Jesus that we say, read what he actually said. And tell me after reading the words of Jesus that he loves you just the way you are. No. He loves you. But he loves you despite the way you are. We need to grow. We all need to grow, including me. All right, you guys. See you tomorrow.
Bye-bye, boys.
Have fun storming the castle.